Amazing, thank you. Mandy just said, don't worry about the time, so. Strap. Oh, I think I'm on. Strap in. No, I'm joking. I'm just messing. I love that.
Tell more stories.
I love that passage of scripture. I think preachers always say this wherever they go, but it is honestly one of my favorite passages of scripture. It's absolutely fascinating. So much is going on in that moment. The first thing I want to say, should we pray? I want to pray first, if that's all right. It's always a good place to start. I'm going to close our eyes for just a second. Lord, I want to thank you for this morning. I want to thank you for all that we've heard and all that you're doing. Thank you, Jesus, that you rescued us and found us and you've called us to. And I pray this morning, by your Spirit, Jesus, would you be known? Would you be glorified? And I pray whatever it is I have to share, Lord, that it would challenge, it would encourage. By the end of this morning, we would be more like you, Jesus. I pray that in your name. Amen. Amen. Now, is it sort of a weird moment that goes on? I want us to just zoom in on verse 1, where it says this. There was a large crowd gathering around, and they were listening to Jesus talk about the Word of God. Now, they're listening to the Word of God. Now, what we're doing this morning is, you're listening to the, you're, hopefully we're going to, what we've heard, what we've just done is we've just listened to the Word of God. But what this crowd were doing, they weren't just listening to the Word of God, they were listening to the Word of God. God in flesh. John 1, right, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It became flesh, and it is dwelling among us. These people, this crowd of people, these Israelites are hearing not just the Bible, not just scripture being taught about, but they are hearing the Word of God. Incredibly excited. Man, I would have wished, if I could live in any time in history, surely it'd be that time when Jesus was on earth. To meet God in flesh would have been so exciting, so exhilarating. Here stood before all these people is God Almighty, God Himself, Jesus Christ, the Righteous One. And I love this about our faith. I love this about Christianity. That when the Word needed to get out there, He sent Himself. God came to you and me because He needed the Word to get out there. He needed a way to get the Word, into the world. And what better way than to send Himself? What was that Word? It was Jesus. It was the good news of Jesus. It was the gospel message that Jesus was preaching. The good news of the kingdom. The good news that there was forgiveness of sin. The good news that there was that God had met us where we are. That He had separated our sin as far as the east is from the west. That there was life eternal in a kingdom where Jesus was the king. It was good news for people to hear. And let me tell you, at this point, at this time in history that we're in, man, does the world need the gospel more than ever? Does the Word need a way to get out into the world more than ever? I don't know about you, but I have found people are, there's the spiritual temperature, if you like, of the UK has changed. You know, for 2 years, people watched as death tolls poured in every day. We became so aware of our own humanity, our own frailness, our own mortality. We were confronted with it every single day. And not only that, our governments are failing us. And not only that, the world is in chaos, and we see it more and more and more thanks to the news and media. We just see the corruptness, the brokenness of the world more and more. People are asking questions more and more. I've never, honestly, and I mean this, that people are hungry for the gospel. All of a sudden, the temperature's changed. And it is time for the Word to get out there. The Word needs a way into the world. And that's what is happening here, as Jesus says. And we know this. When Luke 10 says this, it says, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. There is no lack in the harvest. What that means is there is no lack of people who are ready to receive the gospel. There is no lack of people who just need to hear the gospel. Someone just needs to tell them. They need to communicate it. Just someone needs to invite them to church. Just someone needs to step out in faith. There's no lack of people ready to receive the gospel. Where there is a lack, and where there has always been a lack, is in the workers. It's always been on the church. It's always been a lack of us, not the harvest. And I love in Luke 10, it says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Because you know, the harvest isn't our job. I don't save people. You don't save people. That's a work that God does. But he does want us to go. We do have to share. We do have to open up our homes. Invite those non-Christian neighbors, as annoying as they are, to dinner. We do have to begin to proclaim with our mouths in our barbershops and hairdressers and say, hey, is anyone, do you know what? I'm a Christian. Has anyone ever shared the gospel with you before? What do you think Christians believe? We've got to be those people. Because the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. And the gospel, the word, needs a way into the world. And then we move on in verse 2 and 3. And we see Jesus does this odd thing. And Jesus does odd things all the time. He's one of the most brilliant, confusing, puzzling people. You just read, you know, what are you doing? And he does this weird thing. And I think it's bizarre. You can sort of just pass over it. But he just steps into someone's boat. Now, I don't know about you, but if I, after this service, just decided and said, oh, well, fancy one of those cars, there's a couple of nice ones in there, and just got in, you know, I'd be in trouble. What's going on? But Jesus just steps into some guy's boat, and he's like, yeah, this is my boat now. Thank you very much. I need your boat. And he steps out into this boat. Super odd, super weird. And I also question, why does he pick Peter's boat? Why Peter? And I wonder if simply the answer is, Peter just had a boat that was available. It was free, it was empty. It's just like, yeah, I'll pick that boat, I'll go for it. And as he gets into this boat, I'm puzzled as well, because not just as he does this weird thing where he just steps into someone's boat without their permission and just takes control of it, he also is a weird thing because this is Jesus who walked on water. If I was Jesus' PR person, if I'm his, you know, I'm trying to make him famous, I'm thinking, okay, Jesus, the strategy here is, don't get in a boat, right? Walk out on the water. I think it'll cause a bit more of a stir. I think, Pete, your message is going to carry some weight behind it. If you just sort of moonwalked out on the water and just sort of preached from there, why use a boat? It'd be so much cooler if you just walked onto the water. And this is the fascinating thing about God. And it puzzles me, delights me, all at the same time, is that God is a God of partnership. I don't know why he involves us in the process. We mess it up most of the time. I know why he created us last, because I think if he created us first, we'd tell him how to do it. He'd be like, I don't think leaves should be green, Jesus. I think orange is, you know, or I don't know, purple's a better color or whatever. But I just think, God is so dedicated to his creation. He so loves us. He's so unrelenting or unyielding in this way. He says, I am going to do it through my people. I'm going to do it with my people. I'm going to do it in partnership. I'm going to use the broken things of this world. I'm going to use the messed up things. And you know what? That's what I'm going to use to change the world. I'm going to do it in partnership. And that's the God that we serve. He does it in partnership. He loves to partner. That's the reason he chooses Peter's boat. And I think God might want some of our boats too. I think Jesus wants some of your boats. I think at times we're pretty busy comparing boats with each other. We're like, well, God wouldn't want to use my boat. You know, it's just like, it's a bit old, it's a bit frail. It's seen some years on the sea, and I just don't think God wants to use this boat anymore. Or maybe it's like, man, my boat's too fresh. It's too young. It's not. I don't know if it steps out on the water. I don't know if it's ready for that yet. Or maybe it's like, no, my boat's disgusting. It's dirty. If you saw the inside of my boat, if you saw what was in there, no one would want to get in it. There'd be no way you want to get involved in this mess. But I think in the same way that Jesus stands for Peter and says, hey, I'm getting in your boat. I think for some of us, Jesus says to you, I want your boat. Yeah, I could walk out on the water and do it myself. But it's more fun doing it together. And so I want your boat. And I wonder, maybe Jesus is challenging some of us this morning. Maybe he's saying to you, I want your boat. Stop comparing boats. Stop looking at another person's boat and going, oh, it's so much bigger than mine, or it's so much more agile, or it looks better, or whatever it is. It's not about that. God wants your boat. Give him your boat and watch what he does with it. Watch what he does with it. Time and time again, I've seen it happen. Simply that humble heart. Someone who has enough humility to say, it's not about me, it's about something bigger. And someone whose heart beats for the same things that God's heart beats for. Watch what he'll do with that person's life. It'd be amazing. And the other reason, I think, is this. As Jesus gets out there, and as these fish are getting hauled into this boat, and this massive catch starts coming in, what is it they say? He says, the catch is too big for my one boat. If I put all of this catch in just this boat, the boat would sink. It'd fall apart. It took other people's boats to join in. That's why it's so important. It can't all be on one boat. It can't all be on just a few of us. I love what Mandy said, that not just, Lord, and that's my prayers. I don't want it just to be the message. If it's just the message, the boat will collapse. The harvest is way too big in London, in Enfield, in North London, to contain the catch that God, I believe, that there is for North London. It is going to take his people with their boats, rowing boats, cruise liners, whatever, everything in between. Maybe you're more of a sailing boat person, I don't know. But whatever it is, it's that joining together, because the catch and the harvest is far too big. And maybe some of our boats have been tied up on the shore just a little bit too long. And then from verse 4, I love this bit. Oh, sorry, I'll say this actually. And I wonder, as I was just, as we were sitting and worshipping, I just wonder if there's a few of us. I realized there's a few reasons why Peter, I think another reason why Peter's boat is used is because he was, basically because he was a failure of a fisherman. Like if his boat was full of fish, Jesus wouldn't have been able to get in it and put it out onto shore and stand in it and preach from. It was actually precisely his failure that enabled him, that equipped him to actually be someone to use his boat. And I think for some of us, deep down, we're like, I want to do this work, but I just feel like a failure. And that could be a few things. But I've just got this sin going on in my life, and I just don't think God can use that. Or maybe it's like, I've tried this time and time again, but I feel like I fail every single time. I'm not brave enough. I'm not bold enough. And so I just give up. My boat's empty. I've caught nothing. Why would he want my boat? And so I want to encourage you. I just want to say, if that's you, look what he did with Peter. What a failure of a fisherman. But look what Peter becomes, the rock on which Jesus says, I will build my church on this rock. I'll build my church on this rock. What a transformation. That's the power of the gospel. That's what Jesus does when he gets in your boat. It's dangerous when he gets in your boat. It'll wreck your life in all the best ways. But what also strikes me about this is, it starts with a crowd, right? We start with a crowd of people, and it ends with a crew. Jesus gets two followers at the end of it. There was a whole group of people, a massive crowd. And I find time and time again, so often in church life, I can categorize a church with those two groups. I don't mean this to tell you off. That's not what I'm wanting to do. But I often think when I go to churches, or in my own church even, there's a crowd and there's a crew. There are those that turn up on a Sunday or a Bible study and they hear the word of God and they listen and they're impacted by it and it's amazing and they enjoy it and they're part of the fellowship and it's great. But that's all it ever is. That's all the Christian life ever is for them. Just part of the crowd. Do I think that that's enough for salvation? Absolutely. 100%. I'll see you in heaven, I'm sure. But do I think it's that John 10:10 promise where Jesus says, I've come to give life and life in all of its fullness? No. Do I think that's a boring Christian life? Yeah. I say this thing to young people all the time. I say, God's not boring, you are. So often, like when I ask young people at Christmas time, do you think Christianity is boring? They're like, oh, yeah. Oh, and I'm like, yeah, me too. And I say, but the problem is you're boring, not God. Because if when I read my Bible, and I see the people who lived fully after Jesus, who were more than the crowd, a part of the crew, I'm like, what an exciting life. What an adventure. What an adventure. And so my encouragement is for some of us, actually, maybe we've never been part of the crew. Maybe we've just always been part of the crowd. That's not how Jesus intended discipleship. That's not true discipleship. Jesus calls us to be part of the crew. Maybe there was a time where you were part of the crew. And for various different reasons, hurt, offense, tiredness, disappointment, you just stepped back. You said, I'm done with this. I'm just going to be part of the crowd again. It's much easier there. It's much safer. And you guys as a church are in a really exciting season. Like, for all that God has done in this building, through this church, and the impact that you've had on the community and continue to have and will continue to have. But as the baton gets passed on, you're in an exciting moment as a church that actually, for some of you, there's a call to move from crowd to crew in this new season. There's a call for some of you to go, actually, do you know what? Maybe I've not stepped up enough. But this is an opportunity. It's okay. But this is a new season and a new opportunity to step up in responsibility, to actually become part of the crew again, or to make a recommitment to the crew, because it's much more exciting. Jesus didn't die and rise again so you can stare at the back of someone's head in a beautiful church building on a lovely purple seat. There's more for us to do than just come along to church. People are broken. People are lost. People are dying. And they don't know Jesus. And that isn't okay. It can't be okay. You have to be a light in a dark place. You have to let people know that death is not the end. Death doesn't have to have the final say. That even if your heart stops, your soul can live forever in the kingdom of God, in the presence of Jesus. And he's good, and he's wonderful, and he's gracious, and he's powerful, and he's worth it all. So my encouragement to you as a church is, end the crowd. No more crowd. Crew. See yourselves as crew. On mission. Together. Let God into your boat. Whether it's old and got holes in it. Whether it's filthy and dirty, you think there's no way he could use it. Whether it's young and you think, how could God ever use me? It's too fresh, it's too new. Whatever it is, let God use your boat. Let him in. Your skills, your talent, your gifts. Bring them. So that when that harvest begins to be pulled in, that we know we've got a boat, a fleet, big enough to carry the harvest that I believe God has for Enfield, for North London, for the entire of London. Because there's no lack in the harvest, only in the workers. I wonder if we could pray. I'm going to stand and pray if that's okay. And that's going to be my prayer for you guys this morning as we wrap up, as I wrap up. Is I love working for the Message Trust. I love that someone pays me to like make the biggest impact I can for the kingdom of God and see people set free and rescued and saved. But I tell you something, when I look at a map of London, even when I look at Enfield, all its 340,000 people, I'm overwhelmed. And the Message Trust, as much as we try, isn't enough. It's just one boat, that's all. I'm convicted by this belief. It is going to take a crew of boats, a fleet of boats, if we're to see the kingdom impact that I believe Jesus wants to see in Enfield. My heart for this church and for you, my prayer, is that you'd run out of seats. They'd be too packed. Not because other Christians move here. That's just shuffling numbers around churches. That's not kingdom growth. But because you guys let Jesus use your boat and your street, school gates, in the clubs and societies you're part of, in your hairdressers and your barbers, in your workplaces. And you said, God, use my boat. I want to be part of the crew. I'm on a rescue mission. We all are. It's all of our responsibility. So Lord, I want to pray for Enfield Baptist Church. I want to thank you for the witness that has come out of this place for years. The countless lives that have been impacted by the witness of this church. And I thank you for Mandy and the years of pouring her heart into this community and into Enfield and into your kingdom. And we honor that. And we're grateful and in awe of all you've done. But Lord, there's more. And so I pray that you would end a crowd mentality in this church. And that to be a member of Enfield Baptist Church means I'm part of the crew. I've been called by Jesus. Not just to be a hearer of the word, but a doer. And more than a doer, a sharer of the word too. So come by your Spirit. Would you renew a boldness in those who have grown afraid? Would you break hearts again for the things that break yours? For the poor, for the hurting, for the lost, for the weary, for the foreigner, for the stranger. Break our hearts, Lord Jesus, for those things again. And we recommit ourselves to your crew. We say yes. Take my boat. Do whatever you want with it, Jesus. Just let me be part of the crew. The harvest is plenty. So let me get stuck in. I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen.